What's up, guys? And we are back here with The Reset. And Mike's, we have some special guests with us today. You know, we're going to probably have to, this is the best part, I see his mouth moving, which you guys would enjoy the comedy of this.
I leaned on the mute button.
Oh, okay.
There we go. That's better. Nice. We got Mount Holly here with us. Yes,
we do. We have Jameson Burt and Nick Perry from Mount Holly. What's happening, guys?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having us.
Of course, of course. I think you guys are the first band that we've ever had on here that has been given a key to the city.
Ooh.
So you guys were given the key to Mount Holly, New Jersey, correct?
That's correct.
Have you guys opened anything yet?
Yeah, it's funny because our drummer John joked with the mayor who presented us the key that as soon as the ceremony was over, he was going to go to Home Depot and make a bunch of copies.
What does that even do, though? Like, the key, is that just it's just an acknowledgement or a thanks or?
Yeah, it's an honor. It's it's a way for the city, I guess, to honor someone. It is a physical key, but it's nailed to a plaque, and it was a fun experience. We flew in and we played. It was actually outside. It was in December. It was pretty cold, but they grouped the ceremony, the key to the city ceremony, with their annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
Oh, that's awesome. So it was sort of like a almost like Bill Murray was there too, hosting for
Groundhog
Day. Dude,
it was great. You couldn't have written this thing. It was wonderful. But the cool thing was there was a couple thousand people like out in the street and under a giant Christmas tree. And we sang, we did one original song. And because of the time of year, we ended up doing the John Lennon Happy Christmas, War is Over song as well. We had some special guests with us that got up and sang Jimmy Necco from the band Hours.
Who's great, yeah.
Who's wonderful, and he's been a big supporter of us from day one. My sister was there. She got up and sang as well.
Very cool.
And it was nice. And then Santa got on stage.
Did he sing?
Uh-oh. See, I didn't see that video online.
He's come to be known in our circle as Pyro Santa because he basically did this countdown where an unbelievable and unsafe number of fireworks went off right next to a Christmas tree, like a dead tree.
That's awesome. How far away were people? Were they pretty close?
Okay. This was one of the most unbelievable things, and I think there is a video of it on YouTube somewhere, but he counts down. And they didn't tell us that there was fireworks, and not just like kiddie fireworks. We're talking like
legit
Disneyland fireworks. And they were positioned directly next to a 100-foot Christmas tree, like that could have gone up in flames at any second.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was scary. It was exhilarating.
That's awesome.
It was fun. It was an epic night. We got a police escort to and from the tree. Which was nuts. It was just one of those weird, like, I can't believe we're here moments.
So did any of you grow up in Mount Holly?
Well, here's the story. So this is Nick speaking. I'm from Philly and the surrounding areas of Philly. But my mom's side of the family is from Mount Holly. And so her grandparents settled there in the early 60s. I want to say like 61 or 62. And my mom's mom, my grandmom, still lives there to this day, and my aunt, and now my mom and dad also now live there. So they're all, you know, could be close to each other. So even though I didn't grow up there, I did spend once a week there as a kid. You know, I used to go and cut grass, my grandmom's lawn and all that stuff. And it's a really sweet, nice community. And where they're located is the historic district, which is kind of remained unchanged for a couple hundred years. So all the homes are super old, like 1850s and all that stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, very cool. Very cool. I mean, that's a huge send off for you guys, like to start you out, you know, that kind of thing. And congrats on signing with Razor and Tie. Very, very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And finishing the record. So you guys just recently finished recording your debut album, correct?
We did. We basically in the fall of last year, we wrote for a month straight, and then we basically went straight into pre-production with our producer, and then straight from that into making the record. So we'd actually pretty much finished tracking by the end of last year. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah.
Except for a couple bonus tracks, which I think we went in
a couple months ago to do some
ago to like finish vocals and all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. Well, I want to ask you guys a bunch of questions about the record because I saw a lot of the process and I followed it online and definitely have a lot of questions and it seems super interesting. First thing I want to do though here is I want to play everybody the first single, which you guys just released, called Stride by Stride. And I saw the video as well, which I thought was awesome.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Really, really cool. So let's play the first single for everybody. Let them check it out. And then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the making of the record. We are here with Mount Holly on The Reset. And this is Stride by Stride. That was Stride by Stride by Mount Holly right here on The Reset. We are with our buddies Jameson Burt and Nick Perry from Mount Holly. What's happening, guys?
Hey, guys.
The song sounds awesome. Great, yeah, great
good
job.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
There is such a real, fresh, and organic feel to the recording of this record. And tell us a little bit about the recording, the process, some of the gear you guys use, because I saw some pictures you were posting, and it just looked like an audiophile heaven that you guys were working in.
Well, it was bucket list stuff for all of us. The decision was made before we started. Well, first of all, we should mention Noah Shane. Is the producer who we did the album with. He's been a friend of ours for a while. He's someone that we always wanted to work with, and we knew that if things kind of came, fell into place for the band and we had the budget, which we did thanks to the deal and everything, and we're just very grateful for the way it all lined up to be able to have even had the option to do this. But we made the decision to do it to tape, and it's a big commitment these days because it costs more money and it takes more time, which costs even more money. And basically what that means is there was no computers used for the first phase of the tracking process. We used an old tape machine that came from Quonset Hut in Nashville's Music Row. It was the tape machine that Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, was cut on. Crazy, Patsy Cline.
Hmm. Nashville Skyline, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Like, it's a historical machine.
Yeah, that's an amazing. Ampex 16-track, 2-inch machine. And once we started, there was no turning back. So what we ended up doing was we just did a longer pre-production so that everything was worked out. Every kick drum hit, every bass line, everything was locked in. And we were doing like 14, 16, 18-hour days for basically, 14, 15 days in a row.
Yeah.
I think we maybe had off Sundays, but that was it. So 6 days a week. And once we felt like, okay, we got it, then we moved into his studio called White Buffalo. It's in downtown LA. And we started tracking, and it was a really wonderful thing, not just because of the sound. And yes, it sounds amazing. It's super warm. There's nothing in the world that sounds like that. That's a given. But for us, the other benefit was what comes with that, the process it takes to capture a recording that way. If one of us made a mistake, because we were doing guitars, drums, and bass live to the 2-inch tape, and if one person made a mistake, because we're all in the room together and we're really friggin' loud, if someone made a mistake, we had to stop the tape, rewind, and start over. So we had to nail not only a take, but the take, where everybody went like, yeah, that's what we're going to live with forever. And we had to all do it together, which, sounds easy, but when you're in there and the red light is on,
the stress of like, oh my God, it has to be this one. Don't mess up, because then I ruin everything.
Yeah, no one wants to be the person to stop the take.
Yeah.
but anyway, it was really, really wonderful. And we grew, I think like 2 years worth of playing together in 2 months, and so that's how we did the basic tracks and guitars, which usually basic tracks is just bass and drums, but we wanted to do the guitars as well.
Well, it looked amazing looking at the pictures, and it actually sounded even better listening to the record. I was super excited to hear the single, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Really good job. So, Nick, I know you for a long time. You know, you were in Silvertide, of course, you know, Shinedown, and then you played with Perry Farrell and, you know, and all the other stuff that you had done. How did this band all come together here, and how did you guys all meet?
Good question. So I, in the summer of 2014, I'd been itching to get back into original material. Silvertide was an original band for me. I was a songwriter in the band, and I've always, you know, that's been it for me. When I started playing guitar, I started writing songs, and for me, the greatest creative fulfillment was in a project where I could write. The other projects I'd done after Silvertide, you know, I was a hired guy and I appreciate those opportunities, but at the end of the day, I really wanted to be back in an original band, where I was writing songs. And so, you know, you just can't say like, okay, I'm going to do this. And it doesn't always work that way. It's about chemistry and it's about the right people and the right time. And for me in my life, timing has always been, you know, the most important thing for something to connect. And I feel like that's a huge component of all this is timing. So I couldn't really force it. It just, I had to be open, keep my ears open, my eyes open, my heart open to the people I was meeting and all that stuff. So I did meet John Bach, the drummer, in the summer of 2014. And we jammed, we met through a mutual friend. And immediately I was like, this is the guy. This is the guy I want to be in a band with.
Yeah.
And it was immediate. And then we had a conversation about who we were going to get to play bass. And I had met Deanna a few years before that. I was on tour going through Nashville, and she was in a band playing guitar and ripping it up. She's a, you know, female badass lead guitarist. And I knew that she had just moved to LA, and I had no idea whether she would go for this or not, but the idea came to mind to ask her if she wanted to play bass. I didn't really want to do a two guitar band. And I had, I mean, the truth is I had no idea if she would even be into it or not. So I asked her to meet for coffee and I pitched her the idea. And funny enough, she said that her mom is a bass player, played bass her whole life, and has a 1971 Rick sitting at home, she could get her mom to send it out and she would try it. You know, she couldn't promise, but she'd try it, see how it felt. So the first time that we three got in a room together, it was freaking awesome. It was magical. And she became an awesome bass player in a record amount of time.
That's awesome. And Jameson, what were you doing before Mount Holly, and how did you guys hook up?
I've been a solo artist and played with, you know, had different bands and kind of creative team with some of my bandmates, but really I was a solo artist for years, toured on my own and had a band around me and stuff. And I'd known Nick for about 5 years or so. So kind of all these parts of Nick's process of getting to the point where he was going to start this, he and I were having these conversations on the phone. I remember him calling me saying like, you know, I think it's time for me to like do my own thing and start my own band. And I remember being like, absolutely, you gotta do it. And it was just always a mutual like support of what each other were doing through how things worked out. Basically, when the time was right for him to need somebody to commit, the time was right for me to do it. And so it was just like, you know, the stars kind of aligning in terms of timing that we finally got to jump in together.
Well, hopefully you guys will be on tour soon and come out this way, and I'd love to catch you guys live for sure. You know, you had the that song Rollout was on the Transformers Rollout. What was that about?
A couple of years ago, Hasbro, the company that's behind Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that cool stuff, I got a call asking if I would produce a Transformers album, like of original material, not necessarily tied to any one movie or video game or anything, but it would be like a standalone project, because basically Hasbro is getting into the music business. And I thought that would be rad. I mean, I grew up with Transformers. I think a lot of us did. And I said, yeah, of course I would do it. So I actually, with Noah Shane, who produced the Mount Holly record, I joined forces with him and we co-produced the whole record. It's called Transformers Rollout. It's a 10-song record of original music by a whole bunch of bands, some very well-known, some up-and-coming. And, of course, I had the opportunity to put Mount Holly on it, so I did, and we wrote a song for it. And, you know, it's a super cool track, but for us it was fun because we kind of got to get out of our normal element and writing process and got to do something a little more, I don't know what would be the word, cinematic in a way, I guess, more intense, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good.
So the full record is going to be out this fall. What's the direction on that sonically?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question to ask any artist. I think it's the sound of all four of us in a room playing. I think that there's elements of soul, of bluesy, you know, rootsy kind of stuff. Jameson writes catchy, you know, pop ideas, and how that all blends together with bluesier rock riffs and some old school soul music and some James Brown, you know, how that all kind of melts together is really what ended up being our recipe.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm definitely psyched to hear it. By the way, Nick, you know, obviously, you know, our paths have crossed many times, but there's one particular time I'm not sure if you remember. You were playing with Perry Farrell, and I stage bombed you at Irving Plaza and climbed on stage and sang, and he pulled me to the side. You were right there. He pulled me off to the side, and we sang Been Caught Stealing together.
Dude, no. I mean, yes, I remember that happening, but I didn't know that that was you.
That was me. Do you want to know the best part about that? It was like I had done that. And then, it was awesome because it was like, you know, how do you, you know, it's Perry Farrell, you know, how cool is that? And I did that. And then a couple of months later, I was like, hey, I wonder if that's on YouTube. And I YouTubed it and found it. And somebody had just that exact moment from when I climbed up and, you know, until I dove off back into the crowd. It was super cool.
Dude, that's amazing. Can you email it to me? I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. You're in it. You're in it. Smiling and playing, you know.
Great.
It's awesome. Well, so what's the next plan? Right now we got the singles available on iTunes and everybody should definitely go check it out. Stride by Stride by Mount Holly. Are there going to be touring coming up? What's going on this summer?
Yeah, I mean right now the focus is getting on the road. So we've kind of been tying up loose ends at home and stuff. We don't have dates at the moment, but we will probably in the next couple weeks. So everybody who's interested should stay tuned to our website and to the social accounts, because we'll be posting dates soon. Pretty much, we'll be on tour, you know, from June, let's say, through the end of the year. And if the record does well, which of course we all hope it does, it'll be like a 2-year cycle of touring and worldwide. So Japan and Australia and Europe and the UK and all the wonderful places, you know, that we can get to, we will.
Sweet. And that website is at Mount Holly
Band.com. And same thing for all the social stuff. The handle is Mount Holly Band.
Did the town of Mount Holly have mountholly.com?
I think so.
You know, they should have handed you the domain with the key. You would have been like, that, at least that's something I could have used, right?
That's hilarious. Yeah, we should have mentioned that at the ceremony. That's great, but we want our domain.
Yeah, you know, that's cool and all, but a domain would be awesome. That's great, man. Well, dude, thank you guys so much for taking the time out to talk. I'm looking forward to the record coming out. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys live. And I'm really digging what you're doing. So we're all about it.
It's our pleasure, man. Thanks for having us on.
Awesome. So we've been talking with Mount Holly right here on The Reset. We'll be back right after this.